Let us turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. This will be on page 1844 in the Chapel Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. We're only going to read three verses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Lord willing, we will be taking up this whole chapter at our Bible conference. We often look at Hebrews 11 as one of those special chapters in the Bible. There's unique chapters in the Bible that we might say are precious to us, right? We would say the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. The parables, Matthew 13. The love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? And there's many others, but this one, Hebrews 11, is really special. We call it the Hall of Fame of Faith, right? The cloud of witnesses that all finally point to the Lord Jesus in chapter 12. And there were many that came. And the three that we're going to look at briefly today, they're at the end of the patriarchs. You know, the first seven given in Hebrews 11 are from the book of Genesis. And we might say that that's the book of the patriarchs. And there's three given, and then Abraham, and then there's these last three, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Now, I'm focused on these three because they have a lot in common. And I just want to point that out to us. What's spoken of them, the things that are mentioned that they showed faith in, happened at the end of their lives. So we can say all three of them, the examples given, happened at the end of their lives. They ended well. Let's never forget that. We want to end well. You know, some start with a shout and a solemn vow, and soon they're showing others how. But something new catches their roving eye, and what was started is left for the by and by. But we want to end well. And so the Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. And you want to make it to that finish line, being faithful to the very end. And so these three men are given at the end of the seven examples from the book of Genesis. They have a couple things in common besides showing faith at the end of their lives. They all lived great ages. You know, they all lived over 100 years. So when they're displaying faith, it's after a long life of many lessons, and a long life that showed some failures in it, because Scripture doesn't hide the failures, but also some victories. But here is what the Spirit of God wants to highlight about them. You know, they all were given very strange names. All three of them. You know, think about their names. When Abraham and Sarah were told they were going to have a son, the Scriptures record that Sarah laughed. What a scandal! What a joke! And God said, "You indeed did laugh, and you will call that son laughter. You will call him Isaac." And when we think of the name Isaac, it's a beautiful name, and it's a wonderful name to name your son. But in Hebrew, it means laughter. And forever, Abraham and Sarah, they would name him Isaac as God instructed, and they would remember their doubt, their lack in faith that the Lord was going to give them a son. And so forever, Isaac wore this name. Can you imagine this name? Laughter is coming here, you know. Well, when Jacob and Esau were born, Jacob also was a unique name. And if you remember the story, Rebekah, she was with child, and she didn't know what was happening, and there was a struggle in her womb. And so she inquired of the Lord. She was actually a very godly woman. Isaac, not so much. As a type, Isaac is beautiful. He's the obedient son, allowing his father to offer him up. He's the Son of Promise. Beautiful pictures of the Lord Jesus in the life of Isaac. But as a man, just looking at it from Scripture, he was a rather weak believer and rather fleshy, rather earthy in his what he liked. You know, he liked the succulent that Esau would cook for him. And in that environment, this husband and wife, husband less spiritual than the wife, Rebecca inquires of the Lord, why is this struggle going on in my womb? You are going to have twins, not identical. You're going to have twins that are going to become two great nations. And the older will serve the younger. What a revelation. And I'm sure Rebecca shared that with Isaac. So the two boys are born, and something happens as they're born. There's the struggle continues, but Esau comes out first, and there is this hand grabbing his heel, and out comes Jacob grabbing Esau's heel. And what this name Jacob means is supplanter. Another word for that word is deceiver. Can you imagine being called deceiver? What a strange name. And he certainly lived up to that name most of his life. He was a conniver. He worked out his life his way. And not until the end did we really see tremendous faith. So we have laughter. We have deceiver. And then Joseph, just to say, what a strange name that is too. You remember the rivalry between Leah and Rachel. And Rachel had no children. And Leah was having one child after another. And she felt, well, you know. So she took her handmaid and said to Jacob, you know, I want children through my handmaid. And he went along with that, and they had two children through their handmaid. And Leah stopped bearing children, so she said, well, I'll get my handmaid, and we'll have children through her. And so, you know, Jacob had children through Leah's handmaid. And then God said, well, Rachel, I'm going to give you a son. You're going to have a son. And sure enough, she has a son. What a joy it must have been for her. God opened her womb. And she names him Joseph. Do you know what the name Joseph means? God will add. It means, I want more than one son. This does not satisfy me. Not sufficient. So you have laughter, deceiver, not enough. Can you imagine at this time of year, we do family photos, you know, we mail them to people. Imagine Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph standing together, and under the caption is, the joke, the deceiver, and not enough. What a family, you know. But these names, as they're depicted to us in Scripture, are also lessons of God's faithfulness, and how He reminds us not only of our failure, but of His faithfulness, right? He changes Isaac from being the laughter to being such a great man, as we can see here. So something happens to Isaac over time. You know, he thought he was about to pass on. He lived a long life. We're told in Genesis 35, verse 28, that he lived 180 years. That's a long time. So when he was getting old and his eyes weren't so good, perhaps he had cataracts, couldn't see too well, he calls his son Esau and says, you know, I'm coming to the end of my days. He didn't know he had at least 20 more to live. And he said, go out, get me some of that succulent meat that I so love. You know, you're my firstborn son, you're my strength. I have my future invested in you. Even though he knew God's promise that Rebekah told him. He knew God's word, that it was Jacob who was going to be the greater one. He was, I got to have that meat. And so he sends Esau out, and quickly Rachel gets her son, says, oh, while your brother's out, you here, I'll get you the meat. You cook it for your father and put on these things because you got to. He may ask you to come close. You can't see, and he may feel your arms. Your brother's hairy, so you put these things on. And sure enough, Jacob does this. He goes through the whole deception, true to his name, and he does that. His father calls him. It doesn't sound like Esau. Sounds like Esau's brother, Jacob. But come close, and he feels him, and oh, okay, eats the meal, and he blesses him. He blesses him, the great blessing, the firstborn blessing. And almost after he's done with that last bite, Jacob leaves. Here comes Esau. Well, I did the hunting, I got the meat, I cooked it, here, Dad, now bless me. What? I've already given the blessing. I gave it to your younger brother. He deceived me. But, Father, is there not any blessing for me? Is there nothing for me? And his father, I'll tell you your future. And he does. He tells them in Genesis chapter 48. He goes into detail. I'm sorry, in Genesis chapter 27. He goes into detail, Isaac, with Esau, what will happen for him too. And he will have to serve his younger brother. You know, it's something for Isaac to finally agree with God's word. He didn't want to do that. I sometimes wonder, because the scriptures say Isaac by faith blessed Jacob and Esau, that he kind of knew when he was blessing Jacob what he really was doing. I kind of sense he said, I might be being deceived, but even if I'm being deceived, I'm going to go through with it. And scripture applauds him by faith, not just to bless Esau, but he blessed Jacob and Esau. So he comes all around. He gives up. And here's the first lesson. He gives up. He finally agrees with God's word. And he gives up what he naturally would find better for what God has said is the best. And he chooses his son Jacob. Now, his mother said, heard Esau is going to kill my other son. Once my husband dies, he's going to kill him. And so what does she do? She sends him away. She connives another thing and goes away for 20 years. Isaac doesn't die. He lives the whole time. And in fact, he lives till Jacob comes back and is reunited with his brother. And together they bury Isaac. What a story. So sometimes we think that we know the end is near. We don't know the end is near. God may have 20 more years, like Hezekiah, he gave him 15 more years. But in the case of Isaac, he didn't know. And so he made decisions based on a lack of knowing what God's intent was. But he finally came around. So the first lesson from Isaac by faith is that we agree with God's word, what God has said. Then we come to Jacob. Jacob's dying, and he wants to bless the sons of Joseph. You know, he was blessing all the sons. But here comes Joseph, and he does something that he did not do with all his other sons. He doesn't bless Joseph alone. He blesses Joseph's sons. And he also has the cataract problem. You know, his eyes are dim. He can't see too well. He's sitting on his bed, and Joseph comes to him for the blessing. And his father goes, well, who are these two children with you? Oh, they're the sons that I had when I was from you in Egypt here. God gave me a wife, and these are the sons that he gave me. Bring them close. And remember what Joseph did. He brought the older son with his left hand so that Jacob would bless the older son Manasseh with his right hand. And he took the younger son Ephraim with his right hand so that Jacob would put his left hand, the weaker hand, on Ephraim. Now Manasseh was the older son, and Ephraim was the younger son. Just like Esau was the older son, and Jacob was the younger son. And so Joseph brings them in, and what happens? What does Jacob do? He crosses his hands. He puts his right hand on the younger son, Ephraim, and the left hand on the older son, Manasseh. And he begins to bless them. May Ephraim be above his brother. He said that this one be the one who is above the other. And he gives the greater blessing to the younger son. And Joseph protests, wait, my father, your hands are mixed up. No, I know exactly what I'm doing. I have learned that God's ways are not with men's strength, like Esau and myself, Jacob. And I'm going to do the same thing with my grandsons. I'm going to bless them in that same way, that It's the second one that is the one that God had in mind. And we know, studying the history of these tribes, that Ephraim and Manasseh, Ephraim always was more in number and was greater than Manasseh. And so Jacob, at this great age, he does the blessing that way. And as scripture gives him the statement that he did it by faith. But he does something else while he's sitting there. He actually gets up from the bed, and that staff that he has, he leans upon it. Remember why he had a staff? Now, in Genesis 47, verse 31, it uses the expression, he leaned upon his bed. The word bed and the word staff, without the vowel symbols, which was originally written in Hebrew, are the same word. So when the translators translated the Hebrew, when they began to record it with the vowels, they put it down as the bed in Genesis. But when they translated it into Greek, and this is quoted from the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, which was in existence at the time of the Lord, they recognized that it was not the bed that he was leaning on, it was his staff. That was the word. And so it's translated here in Hebrews, the staff. That staff, why did he have a staff? Remember why he had a staff? He was wrestling with God. Remember, he wrestled with God. He said, oh, give me a blessing. I won't let you go unless you bless me. And what did God do? I will bless you. And he actually changed his name. But he touched his thigh. And he limped the rest of his life. He needed a staff. He was weak physically. He had to hop around. Imagine a shepherd that's using the staff for another reason, because he can't stand straight. And that's what happened to him. He became weak in the flesh. And he learned he couldn't trust his old nature. This is the second lesson, the first from Jacob, but the second lesson in this message. Don't trust your old nature. And he came to that. But he worships, it says he bows down. He humbles himself. He trusts God's promises. And what a blessing that is. That's the third lesson. He humbles himself. Jacob finally, at the end of his life, the prayer he made, if you keep me from my brother from killing me, and you provide for me my whole life, you will be my God. Again, the negotiator, you know. Well, God kept his side of the bargain. And Jacob finally had acknowledged that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Last lesson found in Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying. Again, end of his life, you know. By the way, Jacob lived 147 years. 17 years were the last years of his life in Egypt. And in those 130, there were 20 wasted years with his uncle Laban. So he lived in the land about 110 years. That's a significant number, because that's exactly how long Joseph lived. 110 years. These men were not young when they died. God gave them many years, and they saw many things. Well, Joseph's story is found in Genesis 50. We won't turn there, but we know what his name means. God will add, not happy with just one son, not sufficient. And God did grant Rachel a son, another son, Benjamin. We know that. But here is the lesson. He mentions the departure of the children of Israel from Egypt. You know, when Jacob died, he said to Joseph, don't leave my bones here. Don't leave my bones in Egypt. And they had a special funeral. Joseph, with all his brothers, after his father died, they went all the way back to the land of Israel and buried Jacob at where he wanted to be buried, with his father, in the land of promise. So now it's time for Joseph to die. And he's this great man of Egypt. And he says, oh, God's going to visit you. He's going to visit this nation. He's prophesying. He believes in God's faithfulness. That's the next lesson. He believes that God will deliver his people. And he's telling them, God is going to visit you, and he's going to bring all of you back to where he initially intended, the land of Israel. You have to believe in God's faithfulness to God's people. And he certainly did. And this prophecy came true, as we know. They all came back. They all came back through Moses. And God delivered the whole nation from the bondage they suffered after Joseph departed many years later. And it also says here, and he gave instructions concerning his bones. Again, what a strange thing. Don't leave my body. Don't leave my bones in Egypt. I will not feel that I've been at rest in this world. Bring my bones with you when you go back centuries later. Take my bones with you. And Joseph was looking forward. Here's the point. He's looking forward towards that final resting place. For us, by application, we are looking forward to that final resting place. We're looking forward to being with the Lord Jesus in heaven. This place is in our home. Joseph's faith would make him look at what he is in his present circumstances and realize they're temporary. They're not all of life. There's something much better. My best life is not now. It's not even in this lifetime. My best life is the life to come when I'm with the Lord Jesus. So this is the fifth lesson. We look forward to the future to be with the Lord Jesus. And then also when he comes back with us, he's going to come back first for us. That's the rapture. But then at least 7 years later, he's going to come back with us. And we will be with him reigning over this world. Because he's going to reign over this world 1,000 years and display a government like none has ever existed. From shore to shore, from land to land, from pole to pole, his name will be glorified. The Lord Jesus. So we have these five lessons. With Isaac, we agree with God's word. We should. We don't have to wait till the end of our lives. All right? With Jacob, we don't trust in our old nature. And we humble ourselves. And we trust in God's promises. With Joseph, we believe in God's faithfulness. And you know, there's a lot similar in these men in that way. They all had faith. But finally, he looked forward. Those movements of the bones. And we know, Scripture tells us, that's exactly what happened. When the children of Israel returned, it's mentioned, and they brought with them Joseph's bones. They didn't forget. God doesn't forget. He knew the heart of Joseph, and he would bring them. And symbolically, it's like this. God's going to come back for you and I. He's not going to forget us. He will remember us, those of us that trust him. So may the Lord help us. You know, these are just three names. And when we study these together at the conference, we probably won't go into that level of detail. It took me a half hour just to do three. So we'll probably do a little more surfacey. But still, so much wealth here. So much to be said. And you think about these three men and all the other things you could have said about their lives where they showed faith. But these are the things that the Spirit of God highlights. The end of their days, these three. So may it be that we also end well. End well. Let's close in prayer. Our loving God and Father, we do thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for a vivid description of how these men of old would show forth faith even at their latter years. How they were great ages and they learned lessons from life. And finally, they, at the end of their days, they would show that faith displayed in their words and what they wanted. And so it may be for each of us too that we would please thee, not only when we're young, but also when we're older. And we ask thy help in doing so. We pray for the conference again as we would study these things and with more input from others and enjoy them more. So we ask thy help in that. And we also commit ourselves now as we leave here. We pray for safety on the roads and commit ourselves to thee. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.